So both of our readings today are from the book of Proverbs, which if you've got one of these Bibles is on page 607. So 313 to 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. To those who hold her fast will be blessed. Our next one is from chapter 4, verse 4. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown.
Great, so we have Danny coming up. I'm just going to pray for him as he speaks to us. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for Danny. We thank you for his gift of preaching and teaching. And would you bless him and bless each of us here with this message that he's got for us tonight. Would it go into our hearts, and would you fill us up with all this wisdom that is going to come out from this man's voice? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Luke. No pressure. Good evening, everyone. Okay, that was reasonable. That was better than I was expecting. We'll try it one more time. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all in church tonight. It's great to be back in the swing of things here at the 6 p.m. As your pastor or one of your pastors, I want us all to flourish. I want each one of us to grow into the person God has called us to be. I want you to realize your God-given potential. I want you to see the kingdom of God come in and through your life. I want us to be a community that is growing more and more in love with the Lord. I want us to be a church that becomes the sort of missional community that Will was speaking about last week at this service. And if you haven't listened to Will's sermon from last Sunday evening, I encourage you strongly to spend some time on YouTube catching up. In short, I want us to become more and more a people of wisdom. And this week we are launching a new sermon series that's going to see us through to Advent, which is a slightly scary thought, isn't it? We are looking at the book of Proverbs, and we are going to be exploring how we can, with the power of God's Spirit helping us, live wiser lives. So that's where we're going in the next few weeks. Let me begin with a question. How wise do you think you are? How wise do you think you are? I want to introduce you tonight to my no expenses spared wisdometer. Thank you. I spent hours preparing that little bit. The wisdometer is the front of this stage, okay? Where would you place yourself on my wisdometer? Imagine over here, this is like the lowest level of wisdom imaginable. This is foolishness. This is Arsene Wenger on transfer deadline day. You do not want to be Arsene Wenger on transfer deadline day. If you're anything like him, your life is no doubt an absolute mess and you need God's help. That was slightly harsh. If Arsene Wenger ever sees this, I love you possibly too much. Anyway, on this side of the wisdometer is Yoda. And I'm not talking senile Dagobah-based system Yoda. I'm talking Yoda in his prime in the prequels, where everything that comes out of his mouth is like a proverb, just the words are in the wrong order. I wonder where you would be on my no expenses spared wisdometer. Where are you at in your own journey growing wiser? Another question for you. What's the most foolish thing you've ever done? What's the most stupid thing you've ever done in your life? And I just wanted us to take a moment, because I'm sure some of us want to share this with the congregation. The microphone's going to be passed round. If you want to put your hand up, we're just going to take the next sort of 10, 15 minutes just to hear some stories. So just put your hand up. Ah. Okay, that was relying on that to pad out this sermon. Anyway, I'll move on swiftly. What's the most foolish thing you've ever done? Since it's the 6 p.m. and we're beginning a sermon series on wisdom, I thought the best place to start is with a little bit of toilet humour, if you will indulge me. Some while ago, I was in a supermarket and I needed to go to the toilet. So I sought out the toilets at this supermarket. And as I approached the toilet entrance, the door of the toilet, you know how the toilets have the symbols on them that tell you, you know, who the toilet is for? It might be a disabled toilet or a ladies' toilet or a gents' toilet. As I looked at the symbol, I thought, this is the oddest symbol for a gents' toilet I've ever seen. Why is this man wearing shorts in that sort of triangular shape? But I thought, look, I need to go. I found the gent, I'm powering through. So I enter in to the gents. And when I get into the toilets, I look around and I notice that these gents have no urinals. But I thought, that doesn't deter me. I'm going to power on through. That's what cubicles are for. So into the cubicle I go. While I'm in the cubicle doing my thing, don't picture it. I'm in the cubicle doing my thing. And I notice, or I hear rather, in the toilet, a mum speaking to her young son. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? I get that mums have to take their kids to the toilet. But I'd have thought that a mum would take her child to the toilet in the ladies. But I thought, I'm a modern man. Who am I to say where ladies are to go to the toilet? And so as I'm just sitting there still doing my thing, I realise this is sounding like it's taking a while, but anyway, as I'm sitting in the cubicle, I begin to overhear a couple of women chatting to one another. And I thought, as modern a man as I may be, this is surely going too far. Gents are for gents, ladies are for ladies. And it's at this point that it began to dawn on me that maybe I had made something of a tragic mistake. Perhaps, as it was dawning on me, I had found my way into the ladies' toilets rather than the gents. But I thought, alas, no problem. It's not like ladies spend ages and ages just talking. So eventually they would finish their conversation and I would be free to make my exit. But then yet more women came into the toilet and they began talking. And I'm sitting there thinking, who knew women had so much to say to each other? And who knew that it was the ladies' toilets that is the appropriate place to spend ages and ages talking? Gents, I don't know about you, but I've never had a full-blown conversation in the toilet. So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking, what on earth do I do? I can just see the headline now, Youth Minister Caught in Ladies' Toilet Scandal. And that would be the end of a potentially glorious career before it had even begun. After about half an hour or so, I think Alison's probably in the car park by now fuming, so I should probably make my way out. And so I left and walked what I can only describe as the walk of shame. As I head down, just look for the exit of the toilets, walk past what appeared to be crowds of women who were doing whatever ladies do in the ladies' toilet. I wonder for you what the most stupid thing you've ever done is. That's just one of the many stupid things I've done that I would be willing to share publicly. You see, the thing with foolishness is that foolishness has consequences. And the consequences of living a life of foolishness for us may even be greater than having to sit in a lady's toilet for half an hour. Foolishness has the potential to bring our lives crashing down. Foolishness has the potential to ruin our lives, to ruin our business lives, our home lives, our families, our careers. And you see, the thing about wisdom and why I'm so excited about spending the next few weeks thinking about wisdom is that wisdom is the key to living a regret-free life. Wisdom is key to living a regret-free life. And I want myself and each one of us here to live lives that are free of regret. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at wisdom and how wisdom plays out in different spheres of life, in work, at home, in our marriages, our families, with our kids, with money, with finances. And I hope each one of us by the end of this series will be closer to God and wiser. So what is wisdom? R.T. Kendall, who for me is a very wise, legendary preacher and church leader, he says these two things. These are two suggestions that he makes as he tries to define wisdom in his excellent book that I recommend you invest in, called In Pursuit of His Wisdom. So if you want to get a good book on wisdom to read in the next few weeks, you can do a lot worse than that. R.T. Kendall says this: wisdom is doing and saying the right thing at the right time. Sounds simple, isn't it? But it's much harder to do. Wisdom is having the presence of the mind of the Lord. Wisdom is having the presence of the mind of the Lord. Can you imagine being able to get God's perspective on a situation in your life? Wisdom is applied knowledge. Wisdom is knowing stuff about God, about creation, about the world and how it works, and the heart of man, and being able to apply that knowledge to your life and the challenges you face. Wisdom is Christ-likeness. We only have one model of what it looks like to live a perfectly wise life, and that is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A life lived in perfect wisdom. He only did what he saw his Father in heaven doing. When I was a youth and I was cool and trendy, when I was a youth, in my youth group, we used to be big into these bracelets that would have WWJD on them. What would Jesus do? I don't know if any of you ever came across that phrase or whatever. And what would Jesus do? And that is a very good question for us to be asking if we want to live wise lives. In any situation, what would Jesus do? Because wisdom is Christ-likeness. If we want to grow in wisdom, we need to look to Jesus. And for us here at Buckingham Parish Church, wisdom is essential for us to live out our vision. Wisdom is essential if we want to worship God. And by worship God, I mean much more than sing songs and have a great time on Sunday nights. If we want to live lives of worship that honor God and please Him, we need to grow in wisdom so that we can live lives that glorify God. If we want to be a people that makes friends, then we need to grow in wisdom. Wisdom is deeply relational. It helps us build healthy relationships and friendships with other people. And if we want to change the world, we need to be a people that are growing in wisdom. If we try and do anything as a church in our own strength and come up with the best possible plans we can without the wisdom of God, nothing we do will ever bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So if we want to make a difference in our parish, in this community, we need to be a people that grows in wisdom. And so this series, we're going to be exploring the book of Proverbs. And I'm not going to assume that any of you have read the book of Proverbs. I would hazard a guess that a small fraction of us have read all of Proverbs. If you've never read it, let me just introduce you to the book. Proverbs is 31 chapters of absolute gold dust. 31 chapters of absolute gold. A proverb is like an actually useful tweet. A proverb is like an actually useful tweet. A proverb is a short, compact, punchy truth. Short, compact, and punchy, more than likely 140 characters or so. The context for Proverbs is a preacher's dream, because the context is contextless. Proverbs is not a narrative. There's not, if you like, a narrative flow to it. So if you're preaching on it or you're reading it, you're not entering into the middle of a story in which you need to know a bunch of background stuff about the geography and the characters to really understand what's going on. Proverbs, if you like, is short, compact, punchy statements of truth that are universal and applicable across cultures. So Proverbs is a great book to speak on. Proverbs was written primarily by King Solomon. King Solomon lived, give or take a few decades, around about 1,000 years before Jesus. And the book of Proverbs was compiled between the 6th and the 10th century BC. Something you need to know about wisdom and the book of Proverbs is that the wisdom in Proverbs is not law. And this is an important distinction to make. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of what we would call law that really speaks of cause and effect. God says to Israel, if you do this, or you behave like this, or you treat other people like this, then this is what will happen to you. This is what I will do with you. This is how I will bless you, or how I will judge you. But wisdom's not quite that black and white, if you like. Wisdom works a little bit differently. Wisdom is, if you like, and Proverbs is God's design for human life. It's how things should play out in life. And Proverbs is both personal and political. If you invest in reading in the book of Proverbs, it will not only transform your character, but it will help you, if you like, play out your life in the context of community and your relationships. And I say it's political because I also think that Proverbs is the best book any leader can read. I'm going to be praying throughout this series as we look and work through the book of Proverbs that our leaders, that our political figures, that our presidents become people that grow in wisdom, that they would have hearts open to seeking after the wisdom of God. I think this is a great time as we look at the world to be praying for our leaders, that they would grow in the wisdom of God. Proverbs are for pondering. A proverb is not something that you read once and think, great, tick that box, I'll apply that, done. A proverb is something that you can sit with and dwell on and pray through and meditate on that works deep, deep down inside us. Proverbs are for pondering. I encourage you this term to ponder the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs as a book is inexhaustible. I have read Proverbs many times over the last several years, and each time I read it, I am never disappointed. I've never once read the book of Proverbs and thought, I knew all that. Doing it all anyway. Don't need to worry about this book anymore. I'll move on to something more complicated. Proverbs is inexhaustible. If you've never read it before, give it a go. If you've read it 100 times, read it again. So I want to talk about two things, introduction over. Don't panic too much. I want to talk about the purpose of wisdom and the path to wisdom. What is the purpose of wisdom? Why do we want to bother about pursuing wisdom this term? Firstly, wisdom will enable you to fulfill your purpose. In the Old Testament, Solomon becomes king. Solomon is King David's son. He becomes the third king of Israel. And he meets with God, and God says to him, I will give you anything you ask for. And in 1 Kings 3, this story is told. Solomon doesn't ask for wealth or women or power. Solomon asks for God to give him the gift of wisdom. And the reason that Solomon does this, I think, is because Solomon knows if he is going to fulfill the call and the purpose that God has designed for his life, he needs to be a person, a man, who is full of wisdom. He knows that wisdom is key to him living out the call of God that God has for his life. And I believe that that's true for each one of us, that each one of us here tonight has a God-given purpose. Each one of us is called to serve God in particular ways with our particular characters and our particular set of gifts. And if we want to fulfill the potential that God has given us, we need to seek after wisdom. Secondly, wisdom will protect you from ruin. I want to take you back to a time before I was either the scholar or the gentleman that you see before you tonight. I was 4 years old on holiday with my family in the Isle of Wight, and we were at a swimming pool. And at this age, I think I was about 4, if I'm being totally honest with you, I don't actually remember. But I was young enough to require a rubber ring in the swimming pool. So that's how young I was. And, I learned to swim by the time I was 21, so I don't know exactly how old I was. But I'm in the pool with a rubber ring. and I need to go to the toilet. If you're new or visiting, rest assured, not all of my sermon illustrations involve me going to the toilet and humiliating myself. I do have other stuff as well that's happened in my life. Anyway, so I go to the toilet in the swimming pool, and obviously, to do my thing, I have to remove the rubber ring. Don't picture it. And so I'm doing my thing, and after I've done my thing, in my youthful, naive, foolish excitement, I immediately run back to the swimming pool and dive into the pool without my rubber ring back on. And as I dive into the pool, I can still remember vividly sinking to the bottom of the pool. And as I stood at the bottom of the pool, I distinctly remember thinking, there's something not quite right about this, is there? This isn't how I imagined the whole jumping into the pool thing was going to work. And it's at that point that one of my favourite memories in my entire life that I cherish to this day, I can still remember seeing my dad's legs crashing into the water and as he came down to rescue me. You see, my foolishness, my naivety, my lack of wisdom had got me into a lot of trouble, but I sort of think I was like 3 or 4, so I'm not going to beat myself up about it. But foolishness has the potential to bring ruin into our life. I wonder if there is a path of foolishness that you are on, that if it was exposed or it came to light and people found out about it, would cause you to be ruined, would be the end of your business life, the end of your marriage, the end of your family, the end of your ability to live out God's call on your life. So wisdom is the path to peace and blessing, as we had read for us in our readings from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Wisdom is the path to peace and blessing. If there's one thing I know and have learned from times in my life where I've been unbelievably foolish and stupid, is that they have been times in my life that have been almost entirely free of peace and blessing. If anything, they have been times in my life where I have felt full of anxiety and fear and far from the blessing of God. There's something about living lives that pursue wisdom that positions us to receive peace and blessing from God. And that's because I think if we seek to live lives of wisdom, we find ourselves in the center of God's will. And there's no sweeter place to be than in the center of the will of God. And that doesn't mean if you're doing the stuff that God's called you to and living the life God called you to, that there won't be difficult times and hardships and stuff won't go wrong and tragedy won't strike. But you will have a sense of peace deep down inside yourself that nothing in the world can provide. So let's be a people that pursue peace, so that we might experience so that we might be the people that experience the peace, the blessing, the favor of God. I wonder, are we living in a way that is welcoming the peace and blessing of God? And wisdom will show you the next right thing to do. I spend a lot of my time, I'm incredibly privileged to spend much of my time meeting up and speaking to you people, the church, this congregation. And I ask you how you're doing and you share something of what's going on in your life. And what I find fascinating as I speak to you and I get to know you and what's going on in your lives is that so many of you are at a point where you do not know the right next thing to do. You might be at a point where you face a challenge in your career, or you might be at a point where things are really tough at home and you don't know what to do. But as I speak to you, it feels like so many of us are at a place in our lives where we face almost a fork in the road, where we don't know what to do next. There are things we think we may need to drop, things we think we may need to pick up, and we don't know what the right next thing to do is. Well, it's wisdom that will show you the next right thing to do. So if you want to know what you should be doing next, what God has for you next in your life, pursue wisdom. And finally, I want to just spend a few minutes thinking about the path to wisdom. The Bible says, Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. That's pretty blunt, pretty direct, isn't it? It's a bit like saying, if you want to get fit, get fit. If you want to go to the gym, get to the gym. You see, the thing with wisdom is it's not going to happen by accident. If you don't pursue wisdom intentionally, you will not wake up in 10, 20, 30, 50 years' time and think, wow, I've grown into a wise person. It's not going to happen by accident or by chance. Wisdom has to be something you pursue. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation, he says, talking about discipleship and wisdom, he has this wonderful phrase, a long obedience in the same direction. That's what it takes to grow in wisdom, a long obedience in the same direction. Secondly, if we want to grow in wisdom, we need to fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, is a phrase that comes up again and again in the book of Proverbs. And if something is repeated, it probably means that it's quite important in the Bible. And fearing God is not about being scared of God. God is not the baddie in a horror movie. He's not going to turn up in your life in wearing a hockey mask or anything like that. But to fear the Lord means treating God with the respect and awe and honor that he deserves. God is holy other. Yes, he's drawn close to us in Jesus, but God is awesome. God is majestic. God is holy. And so if we want to grow in wisdom, I encourage us to be a people that decides to make honoring God our number one priority. Is there anything or anyone in your life that you honor, that you fear more than the Lord? Thirdly, walk with the wise. Proverbs 13:30 says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I want to encourage us to be a people that picks our friends carefully. That's to be a people that spends time in community, building relationships with other Christians who are perhaps more spiritually mature and wiser than you are. The best place to do this is in connect groups. Connect groups are little communities that meet throughout the week where we read the Bible together and pray together and learn from one another in the context of community. I wonder if you're a person that has surrounded yourself with wise counsel, wise friends, and Christian companions. Does the company you keep enable you to glorify God? Fourthly, mentoring matters. Proverbs 27:6 says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And Proverbs 12:1 says this, only a fool despises correction. I want to encourage us all to be people that seek mentors or spiritual directors or wise counsel in our life, to be people that seek after wiser people who we can share our lives with and receive instruction from. I have a spiritual director who I meet with every now and then. We really need to meet soon. And I love this man. He's one of my tutors at Bible College. He's incredibly wise and knowledgeable. And I meet with him. And if I'm being honest, meeting with my spiritual director, my mentor, is often quite a challenging experience. Because I promise you this, he is thoroughly unimpressed with me. I mean that in the nicest possible way. I think he loves me and he sort of encourages me, but he's thoroughly unimpressed with me. And he knows way more than I'll ever know. And he speaks correction into my life. And I really appreciate that, even if it does feel a little bit painful at the time. I want to encourage us all to be people who are looking to find a mentor and also to be a mentor. Is there someone perhaps God might call you to come alongside and to disciple? Perhaps someone younger or newer in the faith. Fifthly, I want to encourage us to be people that submit to Scripture. If we want to grow in wisdom, then reading God's word and studying Scripture is going to be absolutely vital to any spiritual growth and increase in wisdom that we will see in our lives. And particularly, I want to challenge us all as a church to accept what I'm calling the BPC Wisdom Challenge. If you come up with a better name, let me know afterwards. And it's quite simply this. Over the next 31 days, I want us all to read one chapter of Proverbs a day. Chapter of Proverbs will probably take maybe 2 or 3 minutes to read. I've started a Facebook group called the BPC Wisdom Challenge, which you are all invited to join. And I'm going to post on Facebook each day a chapter of Proverbs, and I encourage you to read it and spend some time dwelling on it if you possibly can. If you don't do Facebook, that's absolutely fine. I'm assured that the Bible is also available in this like paper format, which you can like pick up and turn these things called pages and actually read. So you can also try reading Proverbs in book format if you wish to. And finally, I think I'll come into land with this. My final advice to us, if we want to walk the path towards wisdom, is this. Don't be a dog. If we were in an American church, this is where I'd turn to you and say, high five five people and say, don't be a dog. But we're Anglicans and this is Buckingham, so I'm not even going to bother because some of you new people would never return. But my final bit of wisdom for us is don't be a dog. Proverbs says this, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Alison and I have recently become proud puppy owners. Some of you may have had the undoubted privilege of meeting Bear, our puppy Maltese, who's a wonderful white ball of fluff for whom I've traded in whatever man cards I had left in order to get. And unfortunately, every now and then, Bear, the Maltese puppy, throws up. And what's really disgusting, as if that's not bad enough, having a pool of vomit, is that if Alison or I don't swoop in immediately, Bear the Maltese pup is already beginning to devour his own vomit from the floor. That's kind of grim, isn't it? It's a really vivid, grim illustration of what it looks like to be someone who doesn't learn from your mistake. I wonder if any of you are on a path of folly, if you're repeatedly returning again and again to the same act of foolishness in your life. And tonight, you need to say, enough. God, bring me freedom in that area of my life. R.T. Kendall, who I mentioned earlier, we heard him in a few talks at Focus, and he was absolutely incredible. He has this habit of starting sermons like this in order to sort of get people's attention. He'll just rock up to the mic and he'll say, if any of you are thinking of committing adultery, or if you are in an adulterous relationship today, stop it! That did the job. I'll start with that next time and then I won't lose you in the next 20 minutes or so. And it's a really powerful way of saying, if you're doing something stupid, if you're in a destructive pattern of behavior, stop it. Bring it to the Lord and say today, enough. Or else that path of foolishness that you are on could lead to your ruin. Amen. Why don't we stand as we respond to God tonight?